This episode of the Tropecast is brought to you by Web Fiction World, also a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Before webcomics, there were web serials and weblit, independent and self-published web-released fiction and literature. Find out more by listening to Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com with A.M. Hart and MCM.
Last time on the Tropecast.
All right, fine. You know what? We're going to do ponies. We're gonna do ponies.
My little Tropecast. My little Tropecast. My little Tropecast. I used to wonder what this podcast could be. My little Tropecast. Until you all shared its horror with me.
Full of references, sometimes wrong.
A rambling discussion, confused and long.
Hanging lampshades is no easy feat.
But the Tropecast makes it sound so neat.
This is my little Tropecast.
Did you know you're all my very best friends?
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the Tropecast, episode 11. I am Adam Smithy of webcomichell.com. Joining me today, as usual, my lovely co-host, Alex Everling.
Hello, hello.
We also have frequent co-conspirator, Fess, because he was here when I threw this original challenge down, and honestly, we weren't going to do a topic like this without Fess. And we have a very, very special trope-specific guest.
So special.
So special. Mystery guest, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Yamino, creator of Sister Claire and enthusiastic pony fan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, should I also mention that I'm working on a My Little Pony game, so maybe we'll get to talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yes, definitely. I actually have an idea for a... I've got a My Little Pony game idea of my own that I'm going to kind of throw out here during this to see if I can get anybody who's interested in it to help me. So, as I threatened, like, two Tropecasts ago, today we are going all My Little Pony all the time. The new show for My Little Pony, in case you haven't caught it, is... I don't even know how to describe it. It's some sort of, like... It's like the first time someone accidentally got chocolate and peanut butter on one another. It's well-written, well-animated, so cute that you may need insulin, and just amazingly awesome, and it's become practically contagious that most of the people who have actually sat down and watched it and have not rejected it outright have wound up being fans, including, like me, a bunch of 20 to 30 year old guys who never thought they would be raving excessively for an hour and change about My Little Pony. So, we're going to cover all of the tropes surrounding My Little Pony. We're going to go... Last week, we did Guilty Pleasures, where we were talking about allowing yourself to be a fan of something that you are a peripheral fandom to their intended target. This week, we're actually going to cover the stuff inside My Little Pony, the new show, as well as the history of My Little Pony and all of the other stuff. So, who would like to start? Who wants to... why don't one of you share your own personal pony journey leading you up to this point?
Well, I can start with mine.
Okay, that's great.
It's not terribly dramatic, I think, but I was never really into My Little Pony as a kid, unlike a lot of other girls my age. I think part of it is because they didn't play it in Italy, which is where I grew up. I grew up in Rome and I watched like 80s anime, so I never saw Darkwing Duck or My Little Pony or anything like that until just this year. I mean, I'd heard of it as kind of like that old 80s cartoon and it seemed like really cheesy and I had no sentimental attachment to it. And when I heard that the new one was good, like some of my friends whose judgment I really trusted were like, "Oh, it's actually really cute. I think you would like it." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" But then I heard that Lauren Faust, who's also worked on the Powerpuff Girls and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, did the whole concept for the new show. And that got me really excited because I'm a really big fan of her work. So I checked it out and I was hooked after the first episode.
Yeah, I think that that's actually how a lot of people, the like patient zero for this almost was somebody that wrote a review of it on 4chan. And they, at the time, were trying to be critical of The Hub and all of the tie-in to commercial marketing shows like My Little Pony and the new Transformers series. And I think by mentioning that it existed, somehow, like, B started watching it and it exploded with their love and has continued to, like, it really, it's... the speed at which this became a meme, the speed at which My Little Pony took over, like, some forums and webcomic artists is a great example. The speed at which, like, people started drawing ponies, Tumblr started joking on My Little Ponies. I was aware of it, but I was not watching it. And then I blame Alex. We were in the artist's alley at PenguinCon. She drew me as a pony. And then I was like, why did you draw me? So then I went and watched an episode and now I'm hooked too. So, now this show is so different than the original though.
Oh, it is. Let me jump in here since I didn't get to tell my little story.
Yeah, I have to go too.
Yeah, Alex has to go too. I actually was, you know, following Yamano on Tumblr, and then I'm seeing ponies everywhere. I was like, what the hell is going on? And so then somebody told me, it's all on YouTube. They're not taking it down. So like, I go over there, it's like, this is kind of dumb. And then it started like, hey, this is kind of cool.
On you.
Yeah, because I used to watch the original My Little Ponies. And as well as, you know, Rainbow Bright and all of that. Why? Because they're Saturday morning cartoons. Hell yeah, I'm going to be watching anything. And one of the things that stood out about this show is that it wasn't a girls' show. It really wasn't. It was just a kids' show. That was it. It just had a female cast.
To revolve around a mostly female cast.
Right.
And another thing I really like about this show is that unlike a lot of shows that are... I mean, I think it was mostly targeted to girls. I mean, let's look at the toys they're releasing and stuff for it. But the thing that makes it really special to me is that it's not all about them, you know, obsessing over male characters or something, like perpetuating really gross female stereotypes. They actually all have their own personalities and their likes and their hobbies and stuff. Mostly about their friendship, not about, you know, aspiring to marry somebody rich, except for Rarity in that one episode. But, you know, she learned her lesson.
The show is almost completely devoid of male characters. There's Spike, who's a dragon, who's male. And then, you know, there's a bunch of characters that are on the periphery.
Yeah,
Snips and Snails out of freaking nowhere. It's like, who the hell are these guys? Why do you think you know them already?
Big Mac.
And not only that, but those are not necessarily the most flattering depiction of men compared to the all well-rounded, well-drawn, well-charactered
female
cast.
Spike is pretty flattering. I think Spike is a well-rounded character.
Spike is all right. Big Macintosh had a decent role, as little as it was.
Yep.
How do you like them apples?
Speaking of the lack of male characters, that's been something that's, it's kind of funny that the fan base, at least the fan base that's our age, seems to be mostly guys, you know, the bronies. And when we were opening auditions for voice acting in our game, we got like 95% of the auditions were male, and we really needed a lot more female voices because most of the cast is girls. Although we have managed to cast almost everyone now. I think we're still working out the last couple roles. But it was just sad because we got such a huge turnout and we really didn't need that many male voices, so we had to really be picky about them.
Did you have any males doing women voices?
Because
that's not unheard of in animations.
We did, well, we have a lot of girls doing guys' voices, but not, I don't think we had any guys audition for female voice. Oh, wait, yes, we did. Oh, we had this really sweet 14-year-old or 12-year-old. He was a really young boy who wanted to do Fluttershy's voice.
Aww.
And when I heard his audition, I just wanted to, like, pat him on the head. Like, unfortunately, he wasn't, you know, as close as some of our other auditioners. Right. I mean, but
that's just how it
was just really sweet.
I heard somebody told me that the term brony actually originally was unisexual. It wasn't male or female. It was just fans.
It has bro in it. It really started with the guys on 4chan and stuff and PonyChan. And I do kind of feel like unincluded in that, but that's kind of the fandom word for fans now. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a girl-friendly version.
Bronies?
Phillies, I guess. Bronitas.
Bronitas.
Alex, go ahead and tell your pony story before we...
Well, my pony starts. After Yamino was on the Webcomic Beacon core program a couple months ago, I started reading her comic and following her on Tumblr. And I also got barraged with the Tumblr ponies, and I was like, what the heck is going on? I did play with my little ponies when I was a little kid. My older sisters had a bazillion of them, which I later inherited, and I did watch the cartoon a little bit sometimes when we got the Disney preview on cable like 4 times a year, but otherwise I hadn't seen that much of the cartoon. But I've rented it from Netflix as an adult, and it's like, wow, it's pretty bad. So I watched the first episode on YouTube, and it was awesome and hilarious, and I just kept watching. And Rarity's like a perfect carbon copy of my friend Amanda. She sews, and she's very dramatic and stuff like that, which I think is hilarious, which is like why Rarity's my favorite character. And so I got her hooked because I posted the art of the dress on her Facebook, and I was like, Amanda, they made you into a pony. And so then I think that was when I started getting my other Webcomic Beacon compatriots hooked on the ponies, because like I got Adam hooked at PenguinCon, and then I just kept talking about it on the show, and now Ross has watched a bunch of it, which I think is awesome. And then I started drawing ponies at conventions, people as ponies, and I drew the characters from my comic Gyarados as ponies, and now I'm just drawing all sorts of other pony crossovers as well. So I'm, yeah, here I am. Ponies and corn. That's my thing now.
And corn. Yamino is a gateway drug.
I'm feeling a bit like smug about this now that I like single-handedly got a bunch of
processes. Can't hear you, Yamino. You're way too quiet.
Oh, sorry. How about now?
Yeah.
I was just saying I feel a bit smug and self-satisfied now, knowing that I've single-handedly gotten a bunch of people hooked on ponies.
Yeah, I think we can safely dub you, at least for the webcomics community, as like Pony Zero.
Asian Zero, yeah.
My Tumblr has basically become a pony blog. Like, I tried checking back through my last couple posts, and it's basically 100% ponies right now.
So, do we have some tropes to get through?
Oh, I don't even know where to start with some of the tropes on this. Why don't we talk about why don't we start with the main cast on the show? Because really, since they are such strong characters, if you deconstruct each of the characters individually, I think you hit a lot of the tropes that make the show as a whole work. My personal favorite out of the main cast is Pinkie Pie. I accept Pinkie Pie as my personal lord and savior. And the thing that strikes me about her is that she does not even seem to be aware of the fact that there's a fourth wall. Now, I know that they've said that that's commonly an animation error when she's staring directly at the audience when everybody else is staring, like, at the person who's talking. 'Cause she does it a lot. Like, practically every episode that she's in, there's at least one scene where everyone else is looking one way, and Pinkie Pie is looking at the camera, at you, at the audience. And it doesn't help that she talks to the audience. She like when they were the episode with the buffalo and the apple grove, and when the camera's panning, like at the end of the episode when the iris is shrinking to go to black, she's like sticking her head out and complaining that people didn't like her song. And she's, I mean, she out Ferris Bueller's Ferris Bueller on abusing football on a regular basis. And she also appears to be the only one that actually has any idea what's going on half the time, though nobody ever listens to her. She's definitely right in the wheelhouse for the, was it the Cuckoo Cloudlander trope, where you've got a, I'll put the link up to that in a second. Yeah, it's traditionally an anime trope, but it's the character that's a little crazy, but is also, like, smarter or more aware of things because of the... somebody else do one while I pull this up.
You should have had this ready! Now I gotta go through and edit out all the dead air, which is why I'm talking right now as I write this down, that I gotta edit this out.
Here we go. Here we go. I got one, and lo and behold, when I click on the link, not only there is a picture of Pinkie Pie right there on this, like, the top of this page. So I'm gonna throw this up, but the Cuckoolander was right. And it says, okay, so one of the characters is a little odd. He's a talkative loon who rambles, talks to people and things that aren't there, and rarely pays much attention to what's going on around them. So it's just natural that the other characters ignore everything this guy has to say, until in a strange twist of hindsight, it turns out he was right all along. And of course, it's the specific one that it's referring to is the episode with the Paris sprites, where as everyone else in town is panicking about these rapidly reproducing cute little bugs that are capable of eating everything, Pinkie Pie is obsessively running around collecting musical instruments, and no one will help her, and no one seems to be paying any attention to her. They're just writing everything that she does off as being Pinkie Pie. And then at the end of the episode, a disgruntled Pinkie Pie acting as a one pony band leads all of the Paris sprites away.
I love that animation with her walking around with that stuff.
Oh yeah, that's just with the accordion on her back, and yeah.
You know what my favorite animation of that episode though was their Twilight's imagined version of Celestia coming and being swarmed by Paris sprites. It's like the only time that you ever get to see Princess Celestia in distress, and she's just like, ah!
Okay, so let's, that's Pinkie Pie. Is there any other important character traits of Pinkie Pie that,
How about her duality? The duality of Pinkie Pie versus Pinkamina Diane Pie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's
a pretty big thing.
That is. And I suspect they're going to expand more upon that, later because of all of the, like,
Pinkamina has her own fans now. She's like another character.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie has a dark, dark secret. And she even has like a second form where she changes color palettes and hairstyles when she's
permanently in shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think other than the like origin story episode where we saw how Pinkie Pie started, the only real time that we've seen that is the one where the party, like, she thinks that
party
nobody
of one.
Yeah, yeah, party of one. I'm still very new to this, so there's a learning curve. Forgive me for not necessarily...
Don't worry, that's why we're here.
Yes. So yeah, that party of one has some stuff going on in it towards the end that makes The Shining look...
Let's put it this way. Party of One made the fanfiction Cupcakes seem canon. Have you guys heard of Cupcakes?
Are you talking about the made-up trailer that's kind of like Sucker Punch trailer mixed with...
Might be a parody of the fanfic, but basically this infamous fanfiction, almost every brony knows it. It's about
Pinkie Pie drugging Rainbow Dash with cupcakes, and then she takes her Rainbow Dash wakes up in a lab where Pinkie Pie is gonna like cut off her cutie mark to make a coat out of cutie marks, and it's just really it gets worse from there.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
My favorite, my really favorite pony.
It was Rainbow Dash who comes to like snap her out of it, and I was like, "Oh God, no! It's cupcakes all over again."
My favorite pony is Rainbow Dash. That has to be my favorite. I don't know.
I must be the only one who doesn't have a favorite. Like everybody seems so readily able to recall their favorite, but whoever is the main pony of the episode is my favorite. Like I like them all so much, I can't pick.
I generally like all of them. I have difficulty liking anything featuring Rarity.
Oh, I love Rarity. Her whining is so good.
I did like that episode.
Yeah, that one is, but like the one where
that was the episode that made me start really liking her. Like before that, I was kind of like, okay. But in that one, I just fell in love with Rarity. It was her whining that did it.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little too preppy for me personally, but I do like how they try to expand her character to make her like, oh, she actually has some, you know, she's not just selfish though. In Sonic Rainboom, where she learns a lesson.
Element of generosity, but we have yet to see much of that.
not much of that, but she did learn a good lesson in the Sonic Rainboom episode.
And also, I mean, in the one with, what was it called now? It's slipping my mind. The Art of the Dress episode. You know, she volunteered to make 6 free dresses for her friends all in like a really short amount of time. That's pretty generous, I would think.
And she worked hard, too, so.
Yeah, she requested all of their requests. I like her because she's the artiste. You know, I can associate with really bad clients. That episode also made me really like her. I was like, oh my God, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I think her depiction is one of the least nailed down, though, because she does, like you said, you know, she's the element of generosity, and how many times do we actually see that be a part of her character? And
well, I think the times that we see it the most are like some of the things that we might think it's just her being prissy or something. When she's trying to help her friends be fashionable, it's because she wants them to have the best, you know? She's like, she can't stand to see something subpar. She wants to help them be the best they can be. That's kind of the way I see it.
I don't know. I just, sometimes I get the feeling like she's the Dr. Smith of the group. Because it's like, even when she's lost in space.
Just like they're trying to shoehorn her in a little bit, you're saying?
Yeah, it's the, like, even in the episode where she commits to making all of the dresses for her friends in a short period of time and overcommits herself, she's also doing it because she wants to put on a fashion show to increase her own renown in the designing community. Right. So even in the selfless actors,
she didn't know that there were going to be tons of people or even anyone important at the show. At the very start, it was just like, we as friends are going to put on a fashion show with these things that I made, and I really didn't feel like it was more of a selfish motivation. I think she genuinely wanted her friends to be really well-dressed and well-presented at this party, at the Grand Galloping Gala. Isn't that what that's what they were
dressed for.
I think she could not forgive herself if she allowed her friends to go badly dressed. And she knew that, like, Applejack in particular was just going to wear, like, her work clothes. And she was like, oh, God, no, I cannot allow this fashion disaster to occur.
Yeah, I totally see the dichotomy that's being presented with Rarity, and you, I mean, you know, she certainly has her own motives as well, but I do think that she has, whether or not that a lot of us would agree with, like, the uber, like, basically the prep style, so to speak, you know, she does come off as being genuine, I think, when they really explore her, in my opinion. Another trope, please, sir.
Okay, well, let's, what do we think about Rainbow Dash? Fess, you mentioned that that's your favorite.
Yep, it's my favorite character. I mean, there's aspects about all the ponies that, you know, because they have flaws. They all have flaws. So it's not like, you know, it was always like I like Rainbow Dash except for blah blah blah. I think the best thing
about these characters is that they're all like friends that you know, like mm-hmm. because they're so well rounded. You can always. I don't know if you guys do this, but since watching this show, I found myself comparing my friends to ponies. Like, okay, this person yeah. is Applejack for sure. And it's just like, it's because they're so realistic. Like, you can apply their stereotypes to all these different people you really know.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. That's my thing entirely.
I'll take it one further then. If you had to classify each of the six main cast members in one of the four houses from Harry Potter, where would you put them? Because that's another thing that people do that with the like, you know, Slytherin, Gryffindor, that's like, you know, my totally would be a Hufflepuff.
Fluttershy would be Hufflepuff for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard with the houses from Gryffindor because those are a lot more simplified and open to interpretation in ways. Like, for example, I think Rarity could be Slytherin because she has so much drive to do. I mean, she's the only pony that has her own store. Like, she's, in my mind, the most mature in some aspects because mm-hmm. she's really driven. She has her own income, as far as we know. I think I could put her in there, except she lacks the evilness that seems to be an unwritten rule of Slytherin house people.
Yep. It's not supposed to be evil, it's just supposed to be driven. It's just they generally...
Cunning and ambitious. Right.
Wait, what are all the houses?
I think Rarity would suit that without the evil part.
Slytherin, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, and Ravenclaw.
What is
Twilight
Ravenclaw?
Twilight Sparkle... Totally Ravenclaw.
Okay.
Yeah. And Applejack and Rainbow Dash, I think, are Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could see Applejack also going Hufflepuff. Pinkie Pie is Sparkly Poo, her own imaginary.
Right. Sparkly Poo. Oh, I forgot about that.
I suppose we could possibly go Gryffindor with Pinkie Pie. But then I'd also say that Applejack could fall under Hufflepuff because of her commitment to supporting others and her work ethic and things like that.
I kind of want to put Pinkie Pie in Hufflepuff just so they can have a cool person for once.
Are we having this discussion for real? Oh my gosh. I mean, I was prepared to talk about ponies, but...
Okay.
Topical.
It is.
Pottery's always relevant. Shut up, Fess.
Well, now they're sorted.
We got to get back to some tropes here, though, dude.
Okay. Let's see here. Well.
Well, it's time to take our first break anyway. So we're gonna
take our first break, and then we'll on the other side of this, we'll have some more examples.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Tropecast. Email us at tropecast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So it looks like we're back. Sounds like we're back. I think we're back.
Tastes like we're back.
Tastes like we're
back. Smells like we're back.
What is that? You know, I retract my question.
That's probably for the best, Adam.
Yeah, probably is. Okay. So the next one I was thinking, because I can see a couple of characters that fit under this trope fairly well, is the Genki girl, which is the... Genki is Japanese for energetic or enthusiastic. It's usually a character that is... very healthy, sometimes a little crazy.
I can only think of one character, actually, who fits that.
Which one?
Pinky.
Well, I see aspects of it in Rainbow Dash, too. I mean, Rainbow Dash has the attitude for it. Though Pinky, you know, not to continue to harp on Pinky, but she's like, she can teleport.
You know what bothered me about Pinky is that she's as fast as Rainbow Dash, and she doesn't even have wings or magic or anything. Yeah. She could just run after her.
Yeah, and if there's any question, I have one word for you. Her. Forever.
And she's just hopping, too. She's not even, like, trotting, even.
Well, yeah, she's moving at, like, Pepe Le Pew speed.
Yeah, it's exactly like Pepe
later
Le Pew.
Later on, I think when she turns into Pink Amina, she actually is, like, flying after her or something. It's like you don't see her legs moving.
Yeah, she.
Remember
she
when
has...
she appears in the bell? That scared me.
Yeah.
That whole episode scared me.
There was also... the whole premonition thing, you know, it's obviously an episode about faith. They did a fairly decent job talking about that aspect without getting into it too much. But, you know, obviously Pinkie Pie has premonition. She has some sort of magic about her for a land pony. You know, she's not an earth pony. She's, you know, she doesn't have a unicorn or anything like that. But there's something with her, obviously.
All I think right, she's a Time Lord. I'm just throwing it out.
She wouldn't be the first. I'm just going through the mountain of tropes that TV Tropes has listed specifically for Friendship is Magic, looking for anything that's...
Is there any about Trixie episode? Because I'd like to talk about that one.
Let's see what I can find.
Would Trixie like to talk about that one while she's here?
Yes, Trixie would love to talk about herself.
That is both awesome and a little...
Trixie's sitting right next to me. I made a custom Trixie yesterday. Anyway, no, but like I wanted to talk a little bit about the moral of that, because I'm wondering if I'm the only person who thought it was kind of a weird... moral, because it was from Twilight's perspective and not Trixie's. I really felt like Trixie was the one who was supposed to learn a lesson, but she didn't. Like, the lesson of that story seemed to be, don't be afraid to show people that you're better than them if you really are. And I was like, what the hell? it should have been, don't brag. But that's not what she wrote to Princess Celestia about. She was like, don't be afraid to hide your talents if you're actually better than other people. And I was just like, that's really not a great lesson. I mean, that's not the kind of lesson I would have made from a episode like that.
Yeah, sometimes I get the feeling that Twilight Sparkle's phoning in her moral messages at the end of the episode. She's like, oh, hey, yeah, Princess Celestia, sorry. I learned a valuable... Wait, hold on, I've got this. I learned that Pinkie Pie can play the accordion on her back while hopping up and down. And that's important about friendship. Why?
I think it's kind of weird that they always have her do it. Occasionally she's had, like, Spike try to write it when other characters are learning the lesson, but in that one I thought, like, Trixie was supposed to learn the lesson, but she didn't. She just ran away in shame and was humiliated and possibly learned something, but we may never know.
Yeah. But, you know,
Unless she comes back.
I feel so bad for her, though. I mean, she's homeless now. Her caravan was stepped on by a bear. She's naked. I mean, I know they're all naked, but she's not used to being naked. And it's just... I feel so bad for her. But I always tend to feel bad for, like, the villains or the snotty characters, because those are the ones I'm drawn to. I also felt kind of... Okay, I didn't feel bad for Gilda, but I wanted to see her again, and I wanted to... have her be redeemed, but it seems like we're not going to get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they definitely have been willing to play into the fans' wants and desires frequently, ever since they figured out that there were fans and they had wants and desires. I mean, the inclusion of the infamous Derpy Hooves into continuity and the announcement that she's going to be to move up to like secondary cast for the second
I'm
season.
I'm really worried about that, actually. I think I have kind of an unpopular opinion about her. I don't dislike her as a character because she doesn't have a character, really. She has a fandom character that they've created for her. And it makes me really uncomfortable and sometimes really upset because she's kind of like a Down syndrome joke. I mean, the whole word derp comes from like herder, like making fun of retarded people. And so I got really worried when I heard that they're going to make her a character in the new season because I really hope they don't make her out to be like a lot of fans interpret her as. Because that might ruin the show for me.
I hope she's just going to be just a little off, goofy. But then again, depending on if done right, they possibly could deal with a real Down syndrome character if handled well. But...
But I worry that given that if they're just doing it to pander to fans and the fandom does not do it well, if they're doing it the way fandom does it, it's not going to
be
very
bad.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm really scared about.
I don't see them being capable of giving into that baser of a nature with this sort of show because everything about this show, like I said before, could potentially give you diabetes just from watching it. So I don't see...
Well, the reason I worry about it is because they've made huge faux pas like that before, like with the Native American bison. I don't know if you guys have read my blogs about that, but that was something that I was really appalled by. Because it's basically taking a history of genocide and making it all like cute and like the bison didn't really need that land to live. They just needed to run across it. And they portrayed them as being like a lot more violent than the ponies and stuff. It's just little things like that. It's not good. And I just hope they don't do something similar like that with Derpy.
Right. Especially with, I guess, Lauren Foss not really working on the next season.
You know, I actually wrote to her about it recently because she had replied to a drawing that I made. And because I was so excited that she had actually replied to me, I wrote to her saying, like, what's going on with, like, the Derpy character and stuff? And I explained to her why I was kind of concerned about it. And she didn't reply. And I don't know if it's because I scared her off or if she's afraid of upsetting me with what the answer is, but that I was like, oh dear.
Or it may be that they still don't actually know what the answer is. They're gonna
Or she might just be, you know, busy.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure she gets lots of messages too.
yeah.
Well, I mean, they could just play her off like Daphne from Scooby-Doo, you know, the danger-prone Daphne thing that they did in the 70s cartoon. They could hit with just that mark, and it would be, I think, fine, and I think that the fandom would accept that, you know, this is a character who is completely normal, but... Or Mr. Magoo. Mm. Remember Mr. Magoo and the whole...
He was just old and
being
senile.
Able to see... Funny blindness.
Funny blindness. Oh, jeez.
I actually know some friends who are upset by that, too, because they're blind and they don't like their disability being appropriated for jokes. Like, that's kind of the thing with Derpy, is that her perceived disability is being used as a joke.
I'm half blind, but there's... George Carlin said the essence of comedy was not what you made the joke about, it's where you find the exaggeration. And he gave the example... he said, rape's not funny. He said, there's no way to make rape funny. Now imagine Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd.
I still don't think that's funny.
Yeah.
It's all about the exaggeration. And like I said, there's always going to be somebody that is upset by something. And I appreciate, I'm not... Like,
well, especially when you're talking about things like rape and genocide and disability. I mean, obviously people are going to be upset if you're using stuff that really hurts them every day as a joke, because you're going to think it's funny because it doesn't affect you, but it does affect them. So I think it's more a matter of picking who you're, I mean, making jokes that aren't making fun of something that's already hurting people on an everyday basis. You can do that. Most of the show does. It doesn't need to rely on jokes about, you know, rape or genocide or whatever to be funny.
Right. Well, aside from the episode with the bison, there really haven't been any things that have actually been in the show that Zecora. Have been questionably handled.
Zecora was,
everything
was,
else is
Zecora was a little borderline on this and that. I mean, it's like the Southern Bayou sort of feel they were going through or something like that. I can't quite place it. Voodoo and they're like mixing
a few
things. The reason
that episode made me feel a little uncomfortable is because they were implying that other human races are not ponies, and basically saying that, like, she was obviously meant to be African, you know, and it kind of made me think this must be why they always draw the ponies as white, you know, in fan art, you almost always see them all as Caucasian, and it's because they do stuff like this where other races are not even ponies, they're another species, and that was just kind of gross to me, but I never felt really, really upset until the Buffalo episode. That one really...
Well, what do you mean? Especially with that episode, they went out of their way to point out that they were all wrong, and there was the problem when you have moral lessons, there's going to be some degree of ambiguity, and also, I mean, how do you teach some of these things without talking about the things that they're related to?
Well, if they were going to talk about the things it's related to, they should have done it more realistically. But I don't think they can do that in a kid's show because actually it was a lot worse than what they showed. What they should have done is not made it about Native Americans. Like, they could have just as easily made the buffalo be some kind of other made up. I don't know. They didn't have to be specifically Native American. They just thought it would be cute to make it like a Western theme, I guess. Right. But
They dropped the ball on that one. The one with Zecora, though, I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, they picked a zebra, and it's like, oh, okay, that's what they're going for. And I can certainly understand, because it is supposed to be a kid's show, they go for a lot of, like, the most obvious differences. But I thought the episode overall was a fairly decent look at prejudice.
Yeah, I didn't really hate that episode. I really did hate the buffalo one, though.
Yeah. I think, the only one that I skipped through.
The only part that I liked out of that whole episode was the intro where Rarity is jealous of the tree. I thought that was so adorable. She was like, it's little Rarity who's going to be all saddy waddy.
So, some more tropes.
Yeah, let's find something different. You want to take a second break here while I rummage through and try to find something? I was trying to find more on Trixie, but I'm not hitting a bunch of things that are really...
Well, when you look at the main cast, and unless you think of Spike as Tenchi, I mean, you kind of got, like, the anime harem setup, almost, with all the different girl types, I suppose, if that's
But it's interesting to note that they did it for different reasons. Like, with those harem anime, it's more, like, to appeal to every kind of guy who's watching the show.
Well, yeah.
And all the girls are supposed to be stereotypes of what guys might want in a girlfriend or something. Whereas in this, it's meant to appeal to all different types of girls who will associate themselves and their friends with it.
Right,
and I think
right.
that's why the characters have a lot more dimensionality than they would in, like, a harem anime.
Right. I was just looking at, like, you got the buffet of character types.
Yeah.
And one of the... I will say it's odd. Because it's like, I know, like, the characters are girls, but that doesn't pop in my mind a whole lot, especially on a Rainbow Dash heavy one, because she is a little bit more masculine than the other ones. I mean, she is.
She's a tomboy.
She's kind of a tomboy, and it's like, unless they start talking about, like, referencing her or she a lot, I don't think about, oh yeah, these are girls. Which
I think that's really
that
great though, because it, a lot of times, and I've run into problems with a writer on the My Little Pony game who was saying, like, girls are harder to write. And I was like, why? They have the same motivations and stuff as a guy. If you're writing them well, you shouldn't be even thinking about their girlness being a part of their character. And I think that's one of the big successes of this show.
I was going to go into this before we got sidetracked with the whole derpy discussion, but... The ensemble Dark Horse which is the characters that are in the Peripheria, like Trixie, that the fandom latches onto. I put a link up in the chat room, but they've got several of the things in here. They definitely have Princess Luna, who's
really... She's literally a dark horse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she's only been in that one episode. And
she
that...
had two lines.
Behold the dark horse, the man who sat upon him was death.
Let's see. So they got Trixie on here, Gilda, Big Macintosh that we mentioned earlier.
Princess Luna is Nightmare Moon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, she's not actually... Nightmare Moon is like a separate entity, Lauren Faust has said. So word of God is that she will not grow up to look like Nightmare Moon. It's like a separate thing that invaded her or something. It's like Nightmare Moon is like the manifestation of her jealousy or her bitterness or something.
It's her Valyard.
Sure.
Doctor Who reference, anybody?
No? I don't watch Doctor Who.
I haven't seen enough of Doctor Who.
There's one guy who's going to be listening to this at home, and he's going to go, "Oh my God, no, he didn't." Yeah. The Valyard was the like potential evil manifestation of the Doctor that existed concurrent with his last regeneration and started attacking with the sixth Doctor trying to steal his remaining regeneration so that he could become an actual real evil version of the Doctor instead of just a hypothetical future construct.
Interesting.
Like an evil Pinocchio. Who's a time
lord? Yes. Let's see.
Well, there's always Doctor Who.
Oh, yes. Well, there is Doctor Hooves. Or Doctor Hoof, or however.
What about
they want
the Cutie Mark Crusaders? They're getting a more and more important role.
I really don't like them at all.
Why not? They're cute.
No, they're. This is when the show gets very annoying to me. It's like I cannot stand the song they sing. It's like, oh my God, this is everything I hate about kid shows. Right now, you know, it's
I
like,
think they're a little obnoxious myself.
Well, I think they're the closest that the show comes to having pony Sues.
Yeah.
Specifically pitched towards the age range of the characters because, like you said, all of the characters, the main cast, have realistic flaws and personality types, and the Cutie Mark Crusaders are perhaps too... especially the lack of characterization that they gave to the other two when they showed up the first time. They were basically just empty vessels that showed up to stand solidarity with their.
I think you're being a little harsh. They have personalities, but they just haven't had the time to shine.
They do now.
They do now, but that
well,
first episode...
we're talking about them now.
Well, that first episode that they show up, though, the other two just sort of materialize out of thin air from underneath the table and are like, no, because you're not the only one. There's.
But you really expect that they would have magical characterization right off the bat? I mean, of all that characters need at least
Snips
an episode
and
to develop
snails.
Them.
Snips and snails out of freaking nowhere and as if everybody already knew who they were.
But, I mean, they didn't matter, so you didn't need to know about them before.
They're created for necessity for the episode.
The Cutie Mark Crusaders. I think that they're really important to the demographic that the show was originally targeted for, especially because their story is all about finding out who you are and what mm-hmm. your talent is. And I think that's something that speaks to a lot of people. Silence.
Yeah,
okay.
It certainly.
I agree
it certainly
with that.
Can,
I'm just not entertained by them that much.
Right. And
when
I think,
they show up.
Red Letter Media said it best when he was reviewing the Star Trek Star Wars prequels, basically berating George Lucas for sticking all these kids in the prequels. It's like kids, you know, when they saw Star Wars, they wanted to be Han Solo. They didn't want to be some jack off little kid. They wanted to be the hero. The producers or whatever, they think that, oh, this is marketed towards kids, so we have to have kids in the show so the kids can identify with kids. No, the kids wanted to identify with, like, the main protagonist.
The adults.
Yeah.
I believe that what Fess may be saying is that the Cutie Mark Crusaders are the Wesley of the show.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know who Wesley is.
Wesley Crusher from Star Trek.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
It's a audience identifier character. Here, there's a link.
So the audience didn't identify with.
Yeah, they kind of missed the mark with that one.
Right.
The
one that they try to target their audience with, not
well,
realizing...
Well, I agree. Yeah. I definitely think that's the role that the Cutie Mark Crusaders are there to fill. Mm. But I also really like them because it gives, like, a feeling of family to the other main characters. Like, I like that Scooty... Well, actually, Scootaloo is the only one who's not technically related to anyone. Everybody kind of assumed she was Rainbow Dash's sister, but apparently she's not. But, like, I like that Rarity has a little sister and Applejack, too. Like, I see them as cute minor characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit they're not my favorite, but I don't, like, hate them or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. How about the dually named Vinyl Scratch and DJ Pwn 3?
Yes!
There was a
She's
guy
become a mascot for all the musicians in the fandom. Well,
there was a guy at Kineticon. There was a guy dressed up as DJ Pony in like a big like full suit.
Sweet.
A wolf with suit. Little, she's not a wolf though.
A full suit. A full suit.
Oh, okay.
and the cosplayer had like a keyboard that was kind of slung around their neck, and yeah, he was playing music. It was awesome.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. What about Octavia? You guys know her?
I know of her from reading it on the TV Trips page, but I didn't notice her.
She is even more minor than Vinyl Scratch, because at least Vinyl Scratch got, like, her own shot in the show, like, for 2 seconds. But Octavia is one of the hoity-toity ponies that's playing music at the Grand Galloping Gala that Pinky, like, disrupts. And fandom liked her design so much that they've made her, like, a new minor character in... There's like fan art just of her and stuff. I thought that was really amusing. But another interesting thing about Octavia is that some people in fandom have tried to tie her back into Pinky's backstory because she has really similar colors to one of Pinky's sisters. And so some people are saying that she grew up to become Octavia. That leaves one more sister unaccounted for. Hmm.
But yeah, I think that that's... part of the unique place that this show inhabits, existing both as a innocent children's television show and possibly one of the more subversive shows since like Animaniacs and Invader Zim, and I'm okay with that. I think that that's one of the reasons why people have fished so many of these characters out of the backgrounds, because there really isn't nearly enough source material at this point to support the amount of fandom that the show has generated, and that's why we've got the fan-created characters and the ascended characters and the ensemble dark horses, which are literally dark horses for... some of the characters here.
I want to mention that in our chat room, there's this user named John Capid, who apparently works for the show.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah. Earlier he said he's like the placeholder for Spike. I don't know what that means. But he's also said, I think referring to Octavia, that it's confirmed that she's Pinkie Pie's sister.
What? Where? Right, I'm looking at the chat and I don't see it.
Are you looking at the social stream or at the chat itself?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the social stream. Hang on.
Yeah, I have to hit the chat tab.
That would be really cool.
I don't think we saw anybody's spoilers.
Oh, no.
Wait. John Capid, if we're saying his name right, he's saying that DJ Pwn 3, or a.k.a. Vinyl Scratch, and he's continuing. We're waiting in suspense, and I'm keeping the dead air at a minimum. Oh, he's disconnected. I guess the hub conspirators are preventing him from giving us a spoiler for season two. So if it happens to come in, we'll bring
that
up.
Well, we do know that DJ Pwn 3 is, that's her canon name now, apparently, because they said her name in that official hub advertisement. Like where Pinky gave a shout out to Bronies. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, she was like, and they called her by the fan name, so I guess that's her name now.
Okay.
Officially.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, her real name is Octavia, DJ. Then. Yeah, on her license, it says, Vinyl Scratch.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the classic examples of the thing that, one of the things that fuels the Tropecast, which is retcon. Yes, the retroactive continuity where this character may not necessarily have had this backstory intended initially, but it turns out after we wrote this episode and this episode that the writers thought it would be a really good idea if we made this and this actually the same thing or part of the same thing, or and you get these sometimes confusing but often also incredibly awesome, like, rewrites and revised canon where they're filling out huge chunks of the backstory that, you know, when they started the show, they probably had no idea people were going to notice they had canon, let alone care about minutia like whether or not that character is actually named Vinyl Scratch or DJ Pwn. Is it supposed to be Pwn, even though it's a three? Is it?
Yeah, it's like it's Elite. I think they actually said it wrong in their Equestria Girls thing. I always called her DJ Pwn because that's how you would say it in Elite.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Maybe they could have like a, you know, like Pwn E as opposed to Pwn, just like a break there to sort of, I don't know.
Like Wall E.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good. We should take a break before we go into the final segment here. And so let's go ahead and take a momentary pause. We will return momentarily.
So baby, what I know, there's no stopping.
That was You're So Pony by Beth Thornley. Found at musicalley.com by Mevio.
All right.
Hang on 1 second here. Well, from what John Caput in the chat room has said, he mentions Equestrian Girls via Spike. Let me recall, Derpy is now Ditzy, in parentheses, not sure, but she won't be mostly derped, is what he says.
Hmm. Well, that's good, I guess.
Of course, we're assuming that this person is who they say they are and knows what he says he knows. You know, the rumor mill, as it were.
The rumor mill is grinding away as we speak.
Speaking of the rumor mill, well, not the rumor mill, but the fan news base for My Little Pony, Equestria Daily at equestriadaily.com had linked the Tropecast number 10 when we were having our Guilty Pleasures episode. And so that means we probably had a lot of listeners come in from there, 400 at least. And hopefully they stuck around for this episode. So I would like to say hello and welcome to everyone who came from the Equestria Daily news posts. And hopefully you like what this site has to offer as well, including our other programs, such as the Webcomic Beacon and Web Fiction World.
Yeah, and the Tropecast won't always be all pony all the time. No. However,
just mostly.
Given our propensity to tie things into examples of other things, like God, how many times have I mentioned the Ninja Turtles movie?
That or giant animated robots.
Many.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah. Yeah. But it crossed so many tropes simultaneously that it's a great reference point. And ponies has become a great reference point for a lot of things because you can actually,
it's awesome.
Well, yeah, it's, you can drop any
number.
You need
no other reason.
So let's break away from the show a little bit. For those who don't know about the game that you're working on, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Oh yeah, sure. We're working on a Flash game called The Fiends from Dream Valley, and I'm the voice acting supervisor and also an assistant concept artist, and I occasionally do some assistance with the story as well. I'm probably not going to be an actual writer for the dialogue, but I've been called in to like give my opinion on the story sometimes. And it's so exciting. It's a really massive, massive game. We're going to be releasing it in chapters, and I think there are, as it is right now, like we're still revising the script and condensing it a little, but I think they're going to be about 12 chapters, and we'll release the game on a chapter to chapter basis. And so we're just working on the first one right now. And anyone who's a fan of Luna is going to like this game because she has a really big part in it. And
so can
Trixie,
you,
if I have my way, Trixie is going to have a much bigger part in it soon, too.
Can I, without obviously spoilers, can I ask how is this story going to play out? Like, is it taking place kind of along season one with established stories, or were there going to be some sort of like original fanfic stuff in here, or some sort of?
It's definitely like a spinoff from the show because it's kind of like a big grand adventure. It's not really something that could fit into the context of the main show where okay. Everything is mostly laid back. And it's about, you know, petty disputes between friends and stuff. This is more like, well, I can tell you, cause we've revealed this in the videos, the main villains are going to be retconned, villains from the original show from G1.
Okay.
So, and we've redesigned them to be like actually, you know, interesting designs and stuff. Because we couldn't just go with how they were in the old one. There's going to be Grogar, who's a goat wizard guy, and Erebus, who's like a gaseous body. He's like a genie, I guess, something like that. And there's Crunch, who's like a giant rock bulldog guy, and Lavan, who is like, we've redesigned him to be like a pretty boy made out of lava and rock or something.
Interesting.
Kind of a metrosexual lava guy. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So I think I saw some post that you were talking about. You kind of wanted to have a sort of reference to the girl, the human only human girl that was in the show, basically.
Megan?
Oh, yeah, Megan. Well, we were talking about, because there's going to be a scene where you go to a shrine that has like a bunch of old crumbling statues that are kind of relics, like homages to the old show. And Megan is going to be one of the statues there, like all broken and crumbling. So I was trying to figure out what her design would look like if she was in the current show, because we have to redesign everything to be in the current style.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting to think how a human might look in this world, because there aren't any. So I based her a little bit on the Galaxy Girls from Lauren Faust's other artwork. But Lauren Faust herself told me, like, you should probably age her down a little bit. She looks a little too old. I was like, yeah, okay. So she won't look exactly like she did in that sketch I posted on DeviantArt. But she will show up in some form in the game. Just not as a playable character, though.
Cool beats.
Neat.
Well, I had an idea for I have a card game that I designed many years ago that I've it's basically like a Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh sort of thing, and I have a completely and totally working card game system that I've never been able to come up with nearly enough monsters to be able to support. So the reason I'm using my pulpit here is I wanted to throw out the challenge that if anybody out there would be interested in like helping me flesh out this game, we can retroactively make the whole like pony fandom fit in it. So
I know what you should do. You should go to PonyChan or FimChan and post about it there, and I'm sure you'll get a ton of responses. That's generally the best place to start putting together a team for stuff, mm-hmm. because you have all these really talented guys who are looking for a project to join and who are all really obsessed with My right. Little Pony. So,
copyright issues aside,
well if you're not making money off of it, it should be fine. If you're planning to sell it, then...
Mostly I'm looking to test out the Bakuchibimon battle system in a live sort of people actually using it event, so that if there are things that are horribly wrong with it, I can identify and try to nail some of them down before we release the actual Bakuchibimon card game, which would still be compatible with all of the fan-made pony card things, because, you know, that's how awesome I am.
So is it going to be like actual printed cards, or is it kind of like a computer game that looks like you're playing with cards? Or
it's designed to actually be played in physical cards. What we probably would do for the ponies is just like have a set of blank templates that people could download and then print out. And then when the actual Bakuchibimon game, which would be not a giant copyright nightmare, comes about, then that'll actually be cards that you can sell, the same way that a constant friend of the show, Mike, aka Onyx Sparrow, sells the Wagon webcomic card battle game. So,
yeah, which he has a Kickstarter for.
That project.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's one of the people that has been working with me on some of the but the problem is coming up with a couple of hundred monsters sort of out of my own brain has proven a lot more complicated than I thought it was going to be. And all of the different things that are built into the game, we can easily hook all of those onto pony-based attributes as well, with the huge number of fan-created characters and ascended background characters that there are, and people doing fan art of their own characters as ponies and stuff like that.
I have a suggestion. What if you did make it based on ponies, but it wasn't called My Little Pony, and you could make it like... everybody can make their own pony characters or something. That way you're not using copyrighted characters. It wouldn't be... I mean, they can't copyright the word pony or the animal, so you could still go with that if you wanted to. Or you could pick a totally random animal. What if it was like My Little Penguin or something?
Call it Little Ponies of Mine. Yeah, call it that.
Miniature horse that I own.
Small pony. Oh.
I love that. That's definitely something that
pony in my possession.
Yeah, Mike in the chat is actually pointing out right now that ponies are technically Baka Chibimon if you break down the word itself, because it's Baka's stupid and Chibi's little and Mon is short for monster. So I don't know if they'd qualify in the Mon category, but I was planning on that being a fairly fast and loose interpretation anyway, because I was going to have a bunch of human characters in Baka Chibimon, which, well, humans can often be monsters too, but, you know, that's... So, yeah. Yes, that is, it's exactly what you think it is, John Capid. Stupid cute monsters. That's the plan. But it rolls off the tongue so beautifully. Baka Chibimon. It just, it sounds like some kid with three-tone colored hair in a badly animated cartoon should be throwing $20 worth of cards at a table and going, "All right, fight me."
Yeah.
So anyway, Tropecast.
Oh, yeah, yes, that thing that we were doing.
Take a drink, everybody.
Well, hey, this is a big part of the My Little Pony thing is the amount of fan involvement has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fan projects, the fan involvement, and the fact that they've been way more understanding about stuff than a lot of other, you know, franchises would ever... You know, I don't think I've heard of one single actual, like, cease and desist going out to anybody creating original content that wasn't trying to sell it. I haven't heard.
Well, I think they would be really stupid to do that because it's basically advertising their work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but there's
most
a
of
lot
us are
of
not
people,
making money off of it.
There's a lot of franchises out there that are really stupid, though, and that do fire those off and that... a lot of fans think, you know, unfortunately prune their fandom too early, and they've kind of let this go to the furthest I've ever seen, except, you know, Harry Potter, which, bringing it back to that, you know, but Harry Potter, 7 books across a decade, My Little Pony, 26 episodes over the last, what, like,
year,
8 months
most.
Now?
Yeah.
It's amazing the speed that this has taken off and the just dearth of material that it's been able to generate. So,
dearth doesn't mean what you think it means. Dearth means a lack. You mean plethora.
Yeah, okay. Plethora.
I get that backwards all the time.
Speaking of how cool Hasbro has been,
I like
with
that one.
Their new fans.
Sorry? Hotel Detective just threw out glut. I'm going to go with glut. I like that. It has the same sort of guttural connotation.
Yeah. I don't like glut because it sounds like a blood clot. Like, that word makes me feel sick.
Apparently,
Let's
we're having a
plethora.
Request for Trixie.
Did you guys see the videos of the interviews with the Hasbro, like, toy maker people that was just recorded at a pony convention?
No.
They said that they're going to start releasing, like, higher quality toys and even some of minor characters. So we might actually see, like, official Gilda and Trixie and maybe Octavia DJ Pony toys.
I want action figures.
What's the difference between a doll and an action figure? I think it's all in your head.
Action figures, articulation, and more moving parts.
Ponies,
more moving parts other than head turning. The ponies just turn their heads.
She can move.
Turn her heads. That doesn't count.
No, you move her legs. Her legs move.
I think, how would you feel if they released, like, blank pony templates? Because I know a lot of the customization
like money
first involves...
G3 pony.
Yeah, they have a blank old version pony, so they might make a new one that's customizable. That would be cool.
Well, yeah, and a lot of the customization first involves deponyifying the pony that you're turning into something else before you turn it into something else. So I think that would be a really nice show of acceptance and awareness of the stuff that's going on if they just, you know, like,
really the hardest part is taking the hair out, and with the blank templates that they've been releasing, they still have hair. Like, you're expected to color it with markers or something.
Yeah, it's got, like, white hair. They have to dye or whatever.
That's
I think
still
customization is something that requires a level of skill and dedication that is above most of fandom's capacity.
Just wait till the Japanese get their hooks in this from from the Japanese hobby websites. You'll be able to buy like a 5-pack of just completely blank protoform ponies that you can do whatever you want with.
You know what I want to see? I want to see some decent plushies.
That would be nice too.
Yeah, the plushies haven't been too great. Okay, I've been looking for, like, there's, like, these small figurines that are on the Hasbro website, but they don't sell anything through the website. And I can only find a 4-pack that has, like, Rainbow Dash and Rarity and something like that, but I can't find the other two.
Target has them in singles. No, that's where I got mine.
No. These are, like, the little figurines that actually look like they're modeled after the cartoon.
The ones that don't have brushable hair. They're, like, molded plastic.
Yeah, they're like mini figurines. It's like, that's what I want. I want something that looks like a cartoon.
I bought the stylable hair ponies.
I like the stylable hair.
I styled all their hair myself.
My problem is Fluttershy's hair is fucking hot pink. It's not that. It's a pale pink. They get the hair wrong. And they have Princess Celestia as a pink pony. She's white!
You know why they did that? I heard about it from the actual toy makers. They made her pink because the toy stores would buy more of her if she was pink. Because they've done studies, apparently, and little girls are more likely to buy pink ponies than white ones.
That's because they're conditioned to do that.
Yeah. And you know what? I seriously doubt that it's actually that the little girls prefer them. It's what the parents buy. I mean, the little girls don't have the money to buy their own toys.
Well, I'm calling it right now. By the time season 2 has come and gone, if this show is still rocking the huge adult peripheral fan base that it has picked up, we start seeing like some master class pony stuff that's being sold either through hobby stores or on like only online. That's not the stuff that's kind of like the $80 Super Optimus Prime that replicated all of the stuff that he did in the original G1 cartoon, as opposed to the cheap plastic things that, you know, cost
that you see
bucks.
In the toy section at Target.
I think they would be fools to walk away from this much of an opportunity to cash in on. I mean, they're making money from the people buying the ponies that they're customizing. But if they could turn it into an actual market with the fan involvement that there's been, I don't see how they could lose money on that, especially if they didn't have to come up with characters and designs and they could just, I mean, think of the customization packs.
They have said that they are going to start marketing like more expensive, more on model toys. So I think they've already opened their eyes to that. It's just it takes at least a year for the toys to be made and you know, mass produced and stuff.
I want my Rainbow Dash. That's what I want.
It's pretty easy to style Rainbow Dash's hair, though. I did it.
I don't have
I'm
that sort of time.
I'm looking at Twilight, and her hair is totally the wrong color. Like, it's pink and purple, and it's supposed to be more of a dark blue.
Yeah, I can't get her bangs to stay flat. It's
I know how to
eating
do that.
Away at my soul.
I know.
I've
how
tried
to
like I've tried her, the
dunk her in boiling water. Just pour a ton of boiling water over her head until it goes flat. You let it dry overnight, and then you cut it, and she's got bangs.
I know, but I'm afraid to dump boiling water on my ponies.
Don't be worried. I boiled my Celestia for like an hour so I could take her apart and make her into Nightmare.
We have a couple more spoilers from John Capid. Character initials that may be on the show since I voiced some of them is what he says. DD, VS, CT, DP, Cole, and some G3.5 ponies.
Ditsy Doo, Final Scratch, Carrot Top, maybe? I don't know who DP is. Colgate.
Colgate.
Last one is probably
Colgate.
This is hilarious. This is great.
Only if they're alive when you start. To the answer that Tangent just put up in the chat.
If you boil ponies, do they turn bright red? Oh, man, you're terrible.
Celestia stays pink, unfortunately.
Damn it!
My brain just goes to the worst places possible. And
we know, Adam.
And I know. Which is the reason I started uncontrollably giggling to the initials DP.
What if you bleach, like dunk the Celestia in bleach?
I think that might ruin the plastic. I don't want to try it.
We break down the plastic. That's why.
I don't mean soak. I mean like dip.
Yeah, we know it best. Okay. That's why some people have tried to bleach Fluttershy's hair, but then it dissolved it. So if you're gonna try to fade her hair, you have to do it in the sun. I read a lot of pony customization things when I was looking for styling tips.
Personally, I would just rather get the right color hair and rehair her because it's not gonna be. Even if you do it in the sun and it would take a long time. What if you wanted to be perfect right now?
Do we have any more tropes, Adam?
Tropes? What? I'm sorry. We were talking about tropes. I thought we gave that up like a half an hour ago.
Well, we've got a few of them at least, obviously.
Yeah, we got as good as we're going to get. The problem is this show is so full of them. I swear, I think that sometimes the writers just sit there going through TV tropes going, all right, what can we... Yeah, let's put this in an episode. We don't have Fluttershy doing anything in the background this episode, do we? Let's have her going through this. Here, I'm sending you the link right now. Yeah, we'll just write that story into there.
Oh my gosh.
Because sometimes the things that they do, that's one of the weird things that I've noticed, and there is a trope on this. I know it's because they're focusing on the individual characters, but there are a lot of episodes that are completely and totally missing a significant number of the cast. And I got the, where is it here? Absentee actor. They point out that Twilight Sparkle is the only character who consistently appears in just about every episode, and that's because she's got to do the, I learned something today wrap up at the end. Let's see here. Let me fire this out to you. We'll do this one last one before we go. I know it's all about balancing the characters, but they do have a tendency to forget Fluttershy is on the show. I feel that the fact that she is as quiet and withdrawn and shy as she is makes it easy for them to accidentally leave her out of a lot of the episodes. Anybody have any other thoughts on that before we...
Well, which episodes has she been? I know she wasn't in the Trixie episode. Both she and Pinky were kind of omitted in that one. But which other ones was she, completely absent for?
She was apparently not in the sleepover episode.
Oh, you mean... But that one was all about Rarity and Applejack. I mean, that was mainly just them three, so... But I guess they usually find ways to work the other characters in, even if the episode's not about them. Like in the one in Fall Weather Friends, she's doing the scorekeeping between Applejack and Rainbow Dash and stuff.
Well, yeah, but for a main character, it's I don't know. It just sometimes you're watch. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching an episode and I'm like, huh. So-and-so is conspicuous by their absence in this episode, because you don't really notice that I guess most of the stories, unless they're doing a multi-segment writing across different things, most of the stories really only have room for three or four. Either it's a single character episode, which has all of the other characters taking the background, like, for instance, the Rarity doing the dresses episode, which is...
Or Party of One,
which has one character being the primary focus, but when they drop down to a two or three character ensemble for that particular episode, they tend to lose the other characters, or if they don't lose them, then they have them, like Fluttershy, doing the scorekeeping and not actually being really...
Not too terribly involved is what you're saying. It's going to be difficult when you have a kids show. You can't have everybody having a major role. It can't be too complex. And it would be nice to see her work a little bit more. And it could be intentional because she is, this shy one. So she's not going to be that outward open?
I don't think it's even just for a kids show, Fez. I think for any kind of show, if you have six main characters, you can't make every episode about all six of them.
Well, no,
you know?
No. But with like more like, you know, adult programming, you can have more things going on, is what you're saying, and an older age audience can keep track of that more than, say, obviously it's targeted towards kids and teens, of course, and they do know that they got, like, you know, the 30 somethings watching this as well. But
I just came up with a horrible idea. I now have to go design a My Little Pony based giant robot. Something that the six of them can unite and combine to pilot.
There is actually a shot of that somewhere. I was trolling through Equestrian News and I saw a giant Pinkie Pie robot. Oh wait, here it is.
Voltron. The Ballad of Mickey. About like a Voltron pony thing, like I did for the Harry Potter and for Alex's Corn and for. I like designing non-conventional giant robots, and they are as good of a set of Power Rangers as I've ever seen.
All right, I'm sending you the link so you can see Mecha Pinkie Pie.
Also, for the record, anybody who's keeping track, since I just brought up giant robots, it's time to drink again. So, oh, that is cute.
It's terrifying. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh no, it's cute.
Oh jeez.
I don't know, that giant robot thingy, that's adorable. I don't know what you're talking about. You're obviously not looking at the same... You're obviously not looking at the same link that you just sent me.
All right. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we're done. There's so many more things that we could talk about that I suspect we'll probably wind up doing a return of the Tropecast as Magic.
We'll just have to do a sequel.
But sometime in the future.
Oh, darn.
Sometime in the future. It's something to look forward to.
So what are you guys doing next?
I don't know. We're going to have to, after doing Guilty Pleasures last week and this week, we're going to have to come up with something like really... I don't know.
Highbrow.
Highbrow. The Aristocrats. No. That's the wrong direction, isn't it? It sounds like it should be the right direction. But anyway, I am Adam Smithy of webcomichell.com.
And I am Alex Heberling of alexisguy.net.
I'm Festworks of psiwebcomic.com.
And I'm Yamino of SisterClaire.com.
And we would like to thank you for listening once again to the Tropecast. We actually have, I'm being told, our own .com finally set up, which is still just a redirect, but it's still, you can find us at thetropecast.com, and that's going to have all the previous episodes, all of the future episodes, and links to all of the other Beacon-related programs, of which we frequently contaminate because we're awesome at that.
Indeed.
Let's see, what was I using as my official sign off? How do you stop this thing? Yes.
Goodbye, my enthusiastic little admirers. Until next time.